Miracles, Signs, and Wonders, Part 4. I mean, we can continue to go throughout the whole year on this, but y'all come expecting? We always have to come expecting for God to move in our lives, for the Holy Spirit to move, to get a word, whether if it's through, I mean, just through worship and what God is speaking through you or through the message. Be expecting, Lord, I'm expecting to hear your voice today. When you wake up in the morning, Lord, I'm expecting to hear from you today. I'm expecting for something extraordinary to happen in my life today. It's not just the norm. You realize that miracles are the norm for the believer? Jesus walking around, all the things that he was doing, it was the norm, but yet people were living on another level. In society and what we do in our culture, that might be the norm, but it was the norm for Jesus to operate and flow this way because it was supernatural. Your faith was given to you for the supernatural, not for the natural. It's to override the natural. Your faith will always override time. What the doctors may say is going to take, 3 months for this to heal up and everything. They can give you the medicine. They can give you the shots. Ooh, don't like shots. They can do all these things for you, but faith can override that and you can receive that healing that God has already provided for you. It overrides time. It's created for the impossible. And with God, all things are what? To him that, come on. Do you believe? I'm a believer. I'm a believer. That's what we're called to do. That's why we're called believers, because we believe the word of God. We don't just believe anything that is thrown out there. It has to line up with the word. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 17. Chapter 7, did I say 7:14? Actually, it's Matthew 17:14 through 21. That was my error on that when I typed it for you. Just seeing Matthew 17:14 through 21. But that is a good scripture. You're going to face some difficult times in your life. But guess what? No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter how much trouble that there is out there in the world, our faith can override that. Our faith in Jesus, our faith in God will override that. The Christian walk is not an easy walk. The life of a believer is not an easy walk, but it can be easy in a sense of you resting in God and what he's asked for you. Think about this. I mean, if you go out there in the world and I have an older brother. Some of y'all have met him. He's a bit ornery. But he had no fear. And you walk with him, man, it's like, you know what? I'm not fazed. People try to talk mess. They don't talk mess when he's around. When I was younger, growing up and stuff. I was like, so he was able to take care. I said, God is like that in that sense that when you're walking and you're living your life with him, what is there to fear? Because when you're in fear, it keeps you in bondage to everything that goes on. The enemy wants you in fear because it'll paralyze you. Fear will literally paralyze you and keep you from actually going out. I feared crossing the street. Because I told you that story when I was 3. Got hit by a car. I'm looking both ways. And I'm going to look again. And again. I'm making sure there's no cars coming because of what happened. But I was living in fear. Now I don't anymore. Now I'm looking for speed. 5 points. There's a rabbit. No, I don't do that. You do that to squirrels? No. But it says here, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. The King James Version calls this boy a lunatic, if you have that in your Bible. It calls him a lunatic. And basically, a lunatic, they believed that the moon would make people act crazy. there's something wrong with that individual. Well, it must be something with the moon. But Jesus knew that this boy was possessed by a demon. You know, sometimes people can be ashamed of what's going on in their life. Like they're ashamed to ask for help. They're ashamed to ask for forgiveness. They're ashamed to say, I might have a demon. They're ashamed to do that. But if your life is at risk, you shouldn't ever feel ashamed going to Jesus. You should never feel ashamed going to God and needing and asking for help. Sometimes we're going to have to swallow our pride at times. You should never, ever feel ashamed for getting help for what you need, because that's what Jesus did for us. I mean, he died for us so that we can get that help, so that we can live free. You should never feel ashamed. This past week, man, my goodness, I had talked about this stuff on Sunday. Monday, it hits me. All that phlegm. And I was trying to look up the word phlegm. You know, I didn't spell it right. I didn't know it was spelled P-H-L-E-G-M. What is wrong with our language? F-L-E-M. But every once in a while, I used to say this, I don't get sick. And even when I've been out of the hospital for 4 years, I haven't gotten sick. I don't get sick. It's just that phlegm that just keeps coming in and I'm over here. And Kristen loves it when I spit it out. Just spit it out. Kind of how I deal with it. I just spit it out. Let's go. Keep going. But it almost got me. It was just phlegm. I was like, no. I said, now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean I'm not believing God for healing. I haven't believed God for a miracle that my faith, what is my faith doing for me, right? I said, but that's the thing. My faith, I'm up here. I was out there Wednesday night playing. Phlegm and all. Because you have to put your faith to action. And sometimes we may not want to feel that way. And there were some certain moments where I did not want to do that, but you have to put your faith into action to the Word of God, what it says. I just got to change the way I eat and what I eat. Got to cut out certain things, and that'll clear that up, just from a natural sense. But that's hard to do, ain't it? I like my Pepsis. I like bread. Bread was one thing that we had in the hood. No, I'm saying we didn't live in the hood. I shouldn't be saying that. We were medium income house. I said, but we had to have bread. How else am I going to make my sugar sandwiches? Ketchup and mayonnaise. Relish. Y'all saying, bread? We didn't use buns or hamburger buns or anything like that. We used bread. I make hot links. I'll get a piece of bread. First one. She gets the first bite every time I make it. Treat her so good. Y'all don't understand the first bite of a hot link sandwich. It's on another level. But I love her that much to give her the first bite. Jesus says, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the water. This dad had the courage to say these things to Jesus because he needed some help. And sometimes we can be fearful of asking, but yet the Holy Spirit can point out things in people that we may not see in the natural. No, it wasn't because of the moon that this young boy was acting like a lunatic. It was because there was a demon. And Jesus says, I believe it's in 1 John 3:8, that he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, when Jesus stepped on the scene, he told us, thieves, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You don't have to put up with those things in your life. God doesn't call us to be nice. He calls us to be kind. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Nice will tolerate things like that. Stop being nice. The enemy will take that for granted. I mean, he'll take advantage of that. Stop being nice. Be kind. Because when you're nice, you will tolerate things. People can come over and do whatever it is they want to you and not have you operating in faith or what have you. But it's like, be kind. You can speak the truth in love and still be kind with it. And tell them the truth and go on about their business. If they don't like it, God bless them, pray for them. But when you get nice, they're looking to walk all over you. This demon was throwing this young man into the fire and often into the water. It caused, he says, verse 16, he says, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now remember, Jesus had given these guys authority to go out and do all those things, and this, and they came back with a good report. Now the Bible doesn't say why this happened or if they tried to do it again, but he does later on. They ask him why it happened, and I'm gonna show you right here. In verse 17 it says, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. How long? How long must I be with you? How long must I hear you say you cannot do something that I specifically created you to do? I can't should not be in our lexicon. I can should be. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, some people may take that out there, but I'm literally saying this is what Jesus had done. What was there out there that he could not do? Oh, he couldn't sin. He couldn't lie. He couldn't go back on his word. Those were things that he could not do, but those are awesome qualities. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless, perverse generation. Verse 18, it says, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. He did it and got the result that he was believing for, that what he did, what he exactly what he was called to do. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Legitimate question. It's a legitimate question that they're asking him. Why couldn't we cast it out? How come it worked for you, but not for us? Jesus, some pastors, some leaders won't say this part right here, even though it's right there in the Bible. It was because of what? They won't even say that. They can't tell people they were on unbelief. Have you missed it before? Who hasn't missed it? Who's missed it before? You've missed it. We all missed the mark. All of us. And you not raising your hand, you missed the mark now. We all have. And look at his disciples who walk with him, talk with him, ate with him, ministered with him. They were even in unbelief. Now, Jesus said, well, unbelief, if whatever it is, if faith is sin, right? So if you're in unbelief, you're in sin. Jesus did not say, okay, you're not worthy to walk with me. Here you go. You're out the door. We're not going to mess with you. I'm going to get a new 12. He didn't say that. He didn't throw them away. He just corrected. He told them the truth. The true shepherd, the good shepherd tells you the truth. He says, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. I've never seen a mustard seed, but I heard that it's very, very small. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Faith, small as a mustard seed. Unbelief stopped their faith from receiving what they were expecting God to do. And then this man says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In another version, I believe it's in Mark, it talked about how this man, it could have been Luke, but he says, help my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with asking God to help your unbelief in certain areas. Lord, help me in my unbelief when it comes to giving. Lord, I'm just not fully on board with that. I wasn't fully on board with it when it came to giving. Kristen was. And she was doing it like clockwork. I had to renew my mind with the word of God. I was not, but when I got on board, she can't stop me from giving now. Not that she would ever. But nothing's going to stop us from sowing. Nothing's going to stop us from giving. Lord, whatever you want us to give, we'll give. It used to be $48.50 every 2 weeks. That's how much I was making. I was making the big bucks. 10% of that. With four kids. No, I did not want to tithe. I did not want to give. Help my unbelief. And we get our mind renewed with the word of God. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You can have addictions like no other. You know what frees up the addictions? The anointing and getting into the Word. Thanks. If you read your Bible 4 times a week, you'll start seeing a change in your life. At least an hour a day. 4 times a week. Just 4 times a week. 4 times or even more. But 4 times, at least 4 times, you'll start seeing a difference in your life. In a lot of areas in your life. So there's, I mean, so for us to stay the same year after year after year after year, there's no excuse for that. Lord, I want to grow deeper in your Word. I want to become closer to you. I want to know you more. I don't brag about how much I study. A lot of people put emphasis on study. I want to brag about my relationship with Jesus. That's what I care about, because I've known people who got up here and didn't have a personal relationship. I heard about a testimony about a man who was going, he was pastoring like 3 churches and stuff. And the Lord said, on a way to another church to go do a service, he goes, do I have to schedule time with you to talk with you? And he just pulled on over and just began crying. We can get so busy about God's work and never realize that it's a relationship. I'm not trying to outdo somebody when it comes to the studying, but I do know my things, because most people don't know. I used to sit down with this big old Bible, lay down on the living room floor and just read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. When that boy begins to have seizures and you see that, it's not going to affect you. It's not going to shake you. It's not going to shake your faith. When you see somebody fall out and die, it's not going to shake your faith, because you've already been praying and fasting. When you see somebody with tubes coming out of their body, you're in a hospital and you're praying, it's not going to shake your faith because of your prayer and your fasting. That unbelief won't ever creep in. Fasting is an important thing, so is prayer. But God wants you ready to be able to go out and do those things. Come on. He wants you prepared. He wants you equipped. He wants you anointed. I'm thankful for the prayers I've received. Many of them. And if I haven't got back with you, I love you and thank you. We're going 4 years. That went by quick. Slow as, I don't know what, Kristen's probably like, that was the slowest time just recovering. That sucked. You might want to beat me up. But I enjoyed the foot rub. He needs you prayed up, not hung up in fear. I'm going to jump around 1 John 4. We had sang these 2 last songs, and this is something I already had, and I decided to come up here and do worship with them because I just felt led by the Lord to do it. He says, yeah, 1 John, that one, 1 John 5. Did I give you that one? First John 4, 18 and 19. There is no what? In love. Fear. There is no fear. And remember, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. But perfect love casts out fear. I mean, some of us may not be fully developed in the perfect love. I know at times in my life, I was not developed when I thought I was developed. It was a little undercooked. Not like a steak, because steak is different. You got to cut your chicken all the way through. My wife thinks she needs her steak cooked fully through. I like it medium. My son likes it medium rare. And some people like it flame-kissed. They like it mooing when it comes off. But the love that God has given us is perfect. we allow all the other stuff in the junk to come in and just kind of distort it, mess it all up. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves what? Torment. The enemy will just wear on you mentally. It'll start putting strongholds in you. God doesn't want you. We're supposed to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So whatever the world is throwing at you, what culture is saying, how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be living, how we're supposed to be doing this, and what they're trying to introduce, we cast those things down. We don't entertain it. Anything that tries to exalt itself on the level of God, that is a prideful spirit. That is a prideful thing. That is a prideful image. Because Jesus has come and raised us up, how is anything else going to be put up with it? So we can't bring these strongholds into our lives. We have to be able to cast those things down. Perfect love does these things. It casts out the fear. If any of you are experiencing fear in your life right now, just cast it out. Fear, you have no place here. Probably could have done that during worship if you had. But if you're fearing anything, you don't have to. Fear what people are going to say about you. Fear about, you know, just making the wrong decision. Fear about projects. Fear about your marriage. Fear about your relationships. Fear about your job, whatever. You don't have to live that way. Well, I'm going to get fired if I don't do this. Well, how about this? How about if you do the right thing, because your boss may be having you to do something that is wrong? How about this? How about I'm going to do the right thing, and then whatever, if I get fired, Lord, I know that you're going to have something better for me. Sometimes God will say no to you if it's going to destroy you, because he'll keep you from operating in that. There is no fear in love, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And again, oh, I haven't been made perfect in love. Just ask God. For he is not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. Repentance is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Lord, I missed it. I miss hearing from you. I ask that you forgive me for that. Your word says that the sheep hear your voice, Lord. I want to be able to hear your voice clear. And I thank you for that correction. I thank you for the discipline. I thank you for the rebuke. I thank you for whatever you have for me, Lord. I just miss it. Just be transparent with him. He already knows. I'm going to try to hide it from God. Really? You can't hide anything from the Lord. He wants a relationship. He wants your heart. Surrender, surrender. John 5, getting to that. John 5:14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Hears us. Did I give you that scripture? You mean to tell me I gave you the wrong list? No. Yeah, that's right. Is that 1 John? Or did I write John on here? I wrote 1 John, yes. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, if you were to go back and you can just write the John chapter 14 when Jesus was talking, if you ask anything in my name, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. And here's John writing this, he says, this is the confidence. You have confidence every single time that you pray, God will hear your prayers. That's how confident you need to be. I know God is going to hear me. Some people, when you're growing up, and I don't know about you, maybe you have, if you grew up with parents, you know you can work one parent really good, and you know the other parent was going to say no. Automatic. I know my dad was a no. My mom, you can kind of sweet talk her and work her a little bit. So that's the confidence that we had. We didn't have much confidence going to my dad. Unless it was my brother, because my brother was, he was able to, he was good at it. And it was believable because he was more athletic and more popular and more blah, blah, blah. Made me sick. No, it's fine. He just got it, whatever he wanted. But here's the thing I said, but when you go to that parent, you know, you have the confidence that, hey, whatever I tell them, they're going to believe. And they're going to say yes. You have that confidence. We have that confidence that when we go to the Father, he will hear us because we're his children. We have that confidence. In verse 15, it says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. And it has to be according to his what? His will and his word. His will and his word, the same thing. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If God tells you no, it may have been for some selfish reasons than what we had that we didn't tell everyone else. He knows that in our heart. Or it may not be something that he wants for us. He wants, it's his will that he wants for us if he tells us no. But it's always going to be for the better. You know, in the ministry, I was researching some things. They said, like in a span of 5 years, this is a man that lived on here on this earth, other than Jesus. John G. Lake, y'all heard of him? John G. Lake? We got books in the library, don't we, about him? Check them out. Really good books. In a span of 5 years out of Spokane, Washington, this man ended up shutting down a hospital. And he basically had his own hospital. Healing. They saw over 100,000 miracles that was recorded in just 5 years. That's not all of it, but in 5 years, 100,000 miracles done through his ministry. That's one man using, discipling everyone else to do it. They got good results. They even gave him a certificate to be able to, a doctorate or what have you, to be able to do that. Not that he needed it. But Jesus, if all of the miracles were written down, the Bible says, I used to say there wouldn't be enough libraries to hold the books that would have been written. The Bible says the world would not be able to contain it. Good gracious. In 3.5 years, that was the norm. He didn't say the works that John G. Lake does. He didn't say the works that T.L. Osborne does. He didn't say that the works of Oral Roberts does. He didn't say that the works of Brother Hagin had done. He didn't say the works of Smith Wigglesworth. And these are generals of faith. He says, the works that I do shall you do. And you will do even. Are you still rocking with doubt and unbelief in your heart? That should be eliminated already. Do you go around chasing demons? No, you don't ever do that. That's weird. But if it does come upon you and someone comes to you, you have that authority to be able to use that. So don't be chasing people down in Walmart. Do you have time to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's fine. But whatever you do, do it boldly. People will be running from you. You don't want people running to you, running from you. You want people running to you. Crowds gathered around Jesus. They were touching him. They were trying to get him. People brought the sick on the mat so that Peter's shadow may fall on him. See, when you're walking and being led by the Holy Spirit, it should, what is the word I'm looking for? It shouldn't repel. It should attract. Thank you, Brandon. It should attract people to you. And we want to be attractive. So brush your teeth. That's pop a mint. We want to be attractive. But it's really the love of Christ that's operating through us. Amen. 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 Whew. Y'all ready to see some miracles? Anyone who is needing healing today, I know my son needs healing for his ankle. Said it popped yesterday during a scrimmage. Not as young as you thought, huh? My dad did that to me. I came back from playing ball. I was about 23, 24 when I played ball at Arkansas. I was playing men's league. And when I played in high school, I was 160. When I played here at Fort Hays, I was 168, believe it or not. And then when people ask me, when I tell them I went to school here, played basketball here, I went to school here, and they go, and I played a sport here. They go, football? No. Look like a lineman? Yeah. No, I play. What position? Point guard. Many, many pounds ago, man. All right? So I was 168. When I played at Arkansas, I was 185. Then men's league we're playing, and I twist my ankle, sprained my ankle. I'd never sprained it. I just tweak it in high school and stuff, but rarely ever got hurt. Sprained my ankle, and I told my dad. And he goes, because of all that weight you got on, you can feel the love. But anyone who's needing prayer, healing, come on up. Come on up. Or just stand where you're at. You have to come up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, stretch your hand out. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. All right. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. My goodness. My daughter had a sign. Excuse me. Forgive me for that. She's like, fix your zipper. Thank God nobody else told me. That was Pastor. What's wrong with you, sir? How old is your grandson? How old is he? 16 months? 16 months? Amen. Well, Father God, we command healing in that young man's hip. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your healing power, that you are touching them right now at this very hour, Lord. There is no distance in the spirit, Lord, and we command that healing to operate right now in his life. And we thank you for that, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? You already know to do. Lord, we speak to this. We command this ankle right now to be healed fully, no ligaments torn. We thank you for full restoration of his ankle, Lord. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Full mobility in his ankle. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Receive it. Say, Lord, I receive your healing today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Work it. When you were doing that, did it ever pop? Okay, it'll start popping. And once it starts popping, you're good to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Praise God. Amen. His back was healed. Pray for him 2 weeks ago. He went to Dylan's, right? Yeah. Were you getting stuff for sauerkraut? That's awesome. That is awesome. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Loosen up. This is what I want you to do. Because you operate in that, right? Speak to your shoulder blades. Command it to be healed right now. You ain't got to close your eyes. Don't get religious with it. Begin to listen. Father God, we thank you for the power flowing through them, for the anointing, for healing power flowing through them in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. Be healed. Stiffness, soreness, be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for full mobility. We got to get used to saying that word. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anybody got the Jimmy leg or anything like that? God bless you. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, you are awesome. And we just believe that it doesn't have to stop here. If there's people who didn't want to say anything, Lord, we just believe on the way right here, right now, and on the way out, even in the car when they get home, Lord, that you are just continually healing them in every area of their life, Lord. And we thank you for wholeness in their life. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, you made her whole, not just with the blood issue, but everything that was going on in her life, you would make them whole too. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Invite somebody out to lunch. This Wednesday, we start up. Wednesday night services. So you can come on out. Start up at 6:30, right? Yes, indeed. 6:30. Just a show of hands for men. I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you want to do a men's night or Bible study or just a hangout or what have you? Would you be interested in that, or are you just too busy running your homes? Okay, we're just going to have to pick the night. Monday night fellowship. You can even get together and watch football on certain days. If you're a Cowboys fan, you are out of luck. I'm still bitter about the 91 and 92 Super Bowl, so. But God bless you. You have a great day, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for their lives, health, and strength. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.